Hello, we are reading in the book of Zohar La'am, volume 2, Bereshit Aleph. We're reading item 279 under the heading, And the Lord God Built the Rib. You can ask questions through the usual channels.
By the wisdom of Kabbalah, we attain the upper force, the emanator, the creator. And we learn that the whole work is done through the bestowal of the creator upon the created beings. The created beings, the creatures, are the result of the creator's work. Existence from absence, as he created them, and from creating them, he continues to care for them. All his work is just bestowing it to the creatures. What's the creature's work in this? They're supposed to be like partners to the creator. How could they also bestow to him? They bestow to the creator by requesting from him. And here we really need to divide our whole attitude to two separate clear parts. On our behalf, there can be influence to the creator through request, prayer. There could be gratitude, thanks. And then from us, accordingly, from the lack that we raise, that's actually his pleasure, to hear from us, to feel from us the correct lack that he can fill. If the deficiency that we raise, the request we raise, it suits exactly that which he wants to give, it evokes a pleasure in him. That's why we need, especially as we are in the study of the book of Zohar, the main connection between us and the Creator, which is through this book, we need to constantly try to be in a request. But that request has to be sorted, organized through the connection between us as we are connecting as one man with one heart, and we're asking this. If we're not capable, then please do such a connection for us, and together we will be able to ask from the 10, from the one desire, what we want to ask. We want to ask for revelation, because the pleasure for the creator is to be revealed in the creatures as a good operator, as one who wants to bestow to them, delight them. And that's how we need to ask. Help us arrange our request. That's called the prayer prior to the prayer. So during the reading of the Zohar, especially, let's try to constantly feel ourselves in that request, either a request for making the kli or for the filling of the kli, meaning the revelation of the Creator, as he will enjoy being revealed in us.
We're reading item 279. And the Lord God built the rib. And the Lord God built the rib. This is an indication of the matter of leveret, the custom of ancient Hebrews and other peoples, by which a man may be obliged to marry his brother's widow, marriage. Of which we learn that since he did not build, he shall not build. It is written, who does not build his brother's house? They learned from this verse that since he did not build, he shall not build. But with the Creator, although he did not build a Shekhinah during the exile, he can still redeem her, because it's written about him, and the Lord God built. Meaning, Abba Ve'ima built the Shekhinah for him. And since he himself did not build her, it cannot be said about him, since he did not build, he shall not build. It's written, the Lord, builder of Jerusalem. Shekhinah, who is called Jerusalem, is built from the four letters Havaya, the Lord. It is also because the Vav Deavaya, their Anpin is the son of Yud He Deavaya, who are Abba Ve'ima. It's written about them, and the Lord God built the rib, which he took from the man, the middle line Zer Anpin, and brought her to the man, meaning he brought him to the rib that he took from the bottom, He Deavaya, his maiden, Malchut de Zer Anpin, and not Malchut de Malchut. Thus, Jerusalem is built through the four letters Havaya. For the primary builders are Yud-He, Abba Ve'ima, and the rib that is built is the bottom He, Malchut of the Vav de Havaya, who is Zer Anpin for the Vav. 280. It was said about Malchut de Malchut, who is not in the building of Jerusalem, and will be for her a wall of fire round about. She becomes a wall of fire around Jerusalem to keep from the mixed multitude. At the end of correction, the Creator will bring her down, built up, as it is written, the built up Jerusalem. For this reason, on this mountain, in Malchut de Malchut, where the temple will be built by the Creator, it shall exist for generations and for all eternity. And it was said about that, the glory of this last house will be greater than the first, since the first house, the temple, was built by man, Solomon, and the last house was built by the Creator. This is why it is written, if the Lord does not build a house, those who built it in labor in vain. Since the first and second temples, which were not built by the Creator, were unsustainable, and their builders labored in vain. The meaning of the words. It is known that the Emanator started creation and established creation in a way that the children of Israel could finish it. As we learn, you are in partnership with me. I started creation, and you finish it. The Emanator corrected Malchut only in her first nine, but he handed over to Israel the correction of Malchut to Malchut, to correct her through work and keeping of the first nine. Therefore, all of Israel's work before the end of correction is only in Malchut's first nine, which is considered the sorting of the 288 sparks that were corrected by the Emanator. The two temples above, the first He and the bottom He, and below, were built in this manner. This is why they were considered to have been built by people, through the work of people who were assigned with completing correction. And since the last 32 sparks belong to Malchut de Malchut, they have not been corrected yet. Thus from them come the Sitra Achra and the mixed multitude, which make Israel sin. This is why the two temples were destroyed. However, once the children of Israel sort out all 288 sparks that exist due to the breaking of the vessels, the Creator Himself will sort the last 32 sparks from Malchut to Malchut that are called the stone heart, Lev Ha'Evan, as it is written, and I will remove the stony heart from your flesh. At that time, Malchut de Malchut, the last temple, will be established. It's written, if the Lord does not build a house, meaning prior to the end of correction, when the work was not given to people, and by which the two temples were built, those who built it labor in vain, because they were ruined. But after the people complete the correction to which they are assigned, the Creator will bring down the built-up Jerusalem, Malchut de Malchut, and the built temple, the interior of Malchut de Malchut. At that time, it will be an internal structure for all eternity. 281. It is written of the future correction through Moses and the two Messiahs, and the Lord God built the rib. It is as it is written, and to the second side, since tzela means both rib and side of the tabernacle. Since two sides are the primary ones in the tabernacle, in Malchut, extending from the two points in her, one side for Midat HaRachamim, and the other side for Midat HaDin. And the Lord God built the rib. That is said in the correction of Moses, Moshe. That is the second side of the tabernacle, extending from the point of Midat HaDin, her own b'china, Malchut to Malchut. But the rib side that is said in the correction of the middle pillar, it is the side that extends from the point of Midat HaRachamim, which includes her first nine. A side on the part of extending Chesed is white, and it is called Moon, since Levana means both moon and white, after the light of Chesed in her. And closed up the flesh in her stead is red flesh, the light of Gvura, since the upper Gvura, the Bina, is considered red. Nukva consists of both red and white, Chesed and Gvura. At that time, instead of Malchut, his left is under my head, meaning red flesh, Gvura, and his right shall embrace me. The white light of Chesed called Rib. 282. And the man said, "This is now a bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh." This was said about the Shekhinah, who was a maiden engaged to the middle line Zer Anpin. It was said about her, "This time, I know she is a bone of my bones and a flesh of my flesh." Since before the Shekhinah is fit for Zivug with Zer Anpin, she is called an engaged maiden. Once she is fit for his Zivug, she is called a woman. Hence, once she was built by Abba Ve'ima and became fit for a Zivug, he said, "This time." This shall be called a woman, as she is built by the upper one, Ima, the first Hei Dehavaya, because she was taken out of man, from Abba, Yud Dehavaya. This means, according to the correction of the Nukva, through the middle pillar, prior to the end of correction, which is through the building of Abba Ve'ima. Also the words are made clear in relation to the correction of Moses, who is in the form of the middle pillar of the souls below, in Bia. 283. At that time, each of Israel will be rewarded with his mate. As it is written, "And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit." In truth, Israel extend from Malchut, but because the world could not persist, he associated Midat HaRachamim with her, Bina. It therefore follows that all the females of the souls of Israel extend from Bina, Midat HaRachamim. Since Malchut, the Midat HaDin, was concealed, thus Israel do not have their real mate. But at the end of correction, when Malchut herself is corrected and no longer needs the association of Bina, the females of the souls of Israel will be from Malchut herself, who is their real mate. It is written, "And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy." These are new souls that are destined to be in Israel, as we learn that the Messiah, son of David, does not come until the conclusion of all the souls that are in the body, meaning the old souls, and then the new souls will come. This is so because all the souls in the world were included in the soul of Adam Rishon. As we learn, where was your Ephah? That's a measure of grain, about 40 kilos in Adam HaRishon. And when he sinned with the tree of knowledge, the souls were blemished. They incarnate through all the generations until they receive their own correction, and that will be the end of correction. At that time, Israel will draw new souls that have not been included in the goof of Adam HaRishon, And it's written about those souls, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy.
284.
At that time, the mixed multitude will be removed from the world. And then it will be said of Israel and of Moshe, each with his mate, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and they were not ashamed. That is, they will not need clothes to cover the nakedness, because the nakedness, who are the mixed multitude that caused the exile in the world, will be removed.
Questions. Everything's clear, yes? The main thing is the intention. The correct intention all the time to be and to pray, to ask. What to ask? Each according to as much as he is in connection to the ten. And from the ten, as he comes to it, he discovers, and that's how it works out in our perception of reality. He discovers that he is like the part, the tenth part of the connection, and then you can create a prayer for the Creator. It's best to come first, as it's written, but the tenth also completes the minyan. Please.
Moses' Hevel. 285. Certain about the mixed multitude, and the serpent was cunning. Since the serpent was cunning to do evil more than all the animals, who are the idol-worshipping nations of the world. The mixed multitude are the children of the primordial serpent who seduced Eve with the tree of knowledge. And the mixed multitude were the filth that the serpent cast into Eve. The mixed multitude that mingled with the souls to which Eve gave birth are regarded as filth in regard to those souls. Out of that filth, which are the mixed multitude, came forth Cain. This is why he killed Abel, the shepherd, of whom it is written, "For he is also flesh." Also is Abel, and also is certainly Moses, and he killed him. That is, also in Gematria is Moshe. And Moshe is an incarnation of the soul of Abel. It follows that also implies both Abel and Moshe. Abel and Moses. And this is why Abel was a shepherd like Moses, and Cain, who killed him, it follows that he killed Moses. He did that because of the mixed multitude that was mixed in his soul. He was also Adam's firstborn son, since the filth was mixed in Cain's soul and not in Abel's soul, since Cain was the firstborn son who went out first after the sin of the tree of knowledge, and this is why all of the filth of the serpent came out in him. For this reason, 286, because Moses wished to cover his father's nakedness, he took Jethro's daughter for his wife. As it's written about him and the children of the Kenite, Moses' father-in-law. Jethro is called a Kenite because he parted from Cain, as it is written, and Hever the Kenite parted from Cain. Hence, although Cain killed Abel, who is Moses, Moses still returned to correct Cain, to whom the mixed multitude was attached. The nakedness of Adam Rishon, due to the sin of the tree of knowledge. Moses wished to erase that filth, which is the nakedness of his father, Adam Rishon. This is why he took Jethro's daughter for a wife, since Jethro was an incarnation of Cain, for which he was called Kenite. By taking his daughter, he corrected him and repelled the filth from him, which is the mixed multitude. And once he separated the mixed multitude from Cain's soul, he wished to make them repent, to cover the nakedness of his father, Adam Rishon. The Creator adds a good thought to an act, and the Creator said to Moses, "Beware of them, of that evil race, and I will conjoin your good thought of wanting to make them repent, to an act. Those mixed multitude are the forces of separation that were in the tree of knowledge, for which the Creator warned him, as it is written, "But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat." They are also the forces of separation in the sins of Moses and Israel.
Questions? Yes, Abdul. The Zohar appears each time closer, yes? Just try not to connect it with this world, with materialism, but rather systems. These are the systems of our souls that are like that. Cain, Abel, Moses are the upper systems by which we need to try to connect to them. But the main thing for us is the request. Constantly, just the request. The Creator does not expect anything else. Yes?
I wanted to ask, what are the mixed multitude in the ten, and is there such a thing?
We don't yet have such forces. Not this against that, that we can reveal them. Gradually, we will reveal them. Where is it? In each and every one. In each of us, and also in the whole ten in general, when we start scrutinizing these matters, we will discover that in every crumb of desire, there's also a little crumble of the multitude of masses.
And it's revealed in the ten?
If we can, and we can identify them and correct them, we will. For the time being, no. For the time being, we're living well with them, and we don't feel like something's bothering us. As much as we advance, then the disturbances will be more qualitative. More? Whoa, what happened all of a sudden? You see what you did? Well, yes, Air Force?
Regarding you asking us, putting intention, what is there I have to ask?
No, just know that you have to ask.
Ask what?
I don't know. How should I know? It's your work to know what to ask, but the Creator expects a request from you.
Unity is good because it kind of covers everything.
Yes, but give me a connection, you'll set him like that. Okay, that's also right. At least that. Maybe cry a little. Meaning we need to come to a lack. The Creator doesn't need anything other than that. Our work is as a lack towards what the Creator needs to do. That's it. We don't need to finish the correction just to bring the deficiency.
It's definitely not something individual, just in general. Maybe I want you to help.
Look, individually, the whole world is crying out, and nothing good is coming out for that. But rather, the Creator is adding bad to them so that they will ask correctly. It's not that he's adding the bad to them, he's just adding light that needs to come and correct and fill the kelim. The light of 613 advices and 613 commands. This light that we don't feel and we don't know about brings us troubles, problems. But with that, we start to become wiser. That we do need to change and ask for something correctly. That's how we advance. But the Creator just adds light, and we need to respond correctly to it. As there needs to be the correct kli for the light. Yes?
Question about efforts. When an effort was really made, and it was true, it's felt that it's right, I don't feel any connection to that overcoming that was happening. It's like something takes me and raises me above some state.
I don't know how to answer all those things. Continue. That's it. And by that, you will learn. Behind you there? Yes?
Rav.
What exactly is supposed to change?
What's supposed to change will change.
What to ask?
Whatever you want. Did you read the Rabash writings? Did you hear what's written there? Well,
no.
Then I don't have what to tell you. Go and read it. The 21st articles on the society, you need to know them and repeat them again and again, and then you'll know what to ask. Even if you don't have a lack for it, but you know that accordingly we advance. So you're asking a deficiency without a deficiency. Give me a deficiency to know what I'm missing.
Where does it change?
I don't know where. I don't know. You're asking for knowledge, and you won't get that.
So what do I receive?
Nothing. Ask for a deficiency. That's it. Anyone else? No. Nice. What about you? You need to cleave on to what I'm saying. I told you, seek a deficiency with which you can turn to the Creator. What does He expect of us? If we don't have that deficiency, ask Him for us to have that deficiency. If we don't have a deficiency to ask for the Creator to have us, to give us a deficiency, then ask for you to have a deficiency to have to ask for there to be a deficiency for asking, for having a deficiency to ask, for a deficiency to ask, for a deficiency to turn to Him. That's it. There's no more than that. You want me to give you a longer sentence on that? That's it. Yes.
I'm from Jerusalem asks, what do we need to ask? If we need to ask during the lesson or in general, should we ask to work as a bull to the yoke?
That's right. Yes, we can ask from the Creator to work Him with joy, meaning to come to the big deficiencies and be happy that we can turn them to Him and in such a way advance. We don't need more than that. If I have a deficiency, I'm happy. The right deficiency. Yes.
And the effort to ask from the kelim of the friends of the ten?
Well, of course the right deficiency needs to be of the ten. What are we talking about? Of course. That's clear to start with.
How do we do that?
How? We ask. Next.
287. Because of the mixed multitude, Israel were exiled and expelled from their land. As it is written, and he drove out the man. The man implies Israel. And Moses was expelled from his place due to the mixed multitude, because he did not keep from them as the Creator had warned him, but instead wished to bring them closer to Kedusha. This is why he was not rewarded with entering the land of Israel and was buried outside the land. For because of them he broke the Creator's words and sinned with the rock that he struck, since he told him, and speak to the rock. But he struck the rock, and it's the mixed multitude that caused him to do that. And this is why the Creator adds a good thought to the act. Since Moses would not receive the mixed multitude to place them within the token of the covenant, except to cover his father's nakedness. And this is why the Creator conjoined his good thought to an act. In return, the Creator told him, "And I will make of you a nation greater and mightier than they." This came true in Moses, that the children of Rechavia multiplied above, meaning that they multiplied and became more than 600,000. The Creator said about the mixed multitude, "He who had sinned unto me, I will blot him out of my book, for they are the descendants of Amalek, of whom it is written, blot out the memory of Amalek." The mixed multitude also caused Israel to sin with the calf and the first two tables. And the first two tablets of the testimony broke. 288, the verse, and the man, the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, also implies Israel. In the enslavement in Egypt, Israel knew that they were naked, for they were without the Torah there. It was said about them in the last exile, and you were naked and bare. Since by the Torah and mitzvot, Israel are rewarded with clothes for their souls. When they were without the Torah, in the exile in Egypt, as well as in their last exile, their souls were necessarily naked without any clothes. Because of that, Job said naked twice about the two exiles. I came out of my mother's womb naked, and naked I shall return there. I came out, naked means the exile in Egypt, and naked I shall return there implies the final exile. That which was named Moses became in the eyes of the mixed multitude there, and mocked. And this is why Job said, I shall return there. It implies that Moses is destined to be turned in the last exile among the mixed multitude from the name Moshe, Moses, to their Shama, from Moshe to Shama. That is, Moses walks among them to their Shama. Job said about it, the Lord gave, meaning he gave the Torah, and the Lord had taken away, meaning he took her once more in the last exile, she became hidden from Israel. Blessed be the name of the Lord. 289. When the two tablets of the Torah broke and the oral Torah was concealed, it was said about Israel, and they sewed fig leaves. They were covered with several klipot of the mixed multitude, because they became naked or devoid of the Torah and covered themselves so their nakedness would not be revealed. The places where the klipot have a grip, their cover is the edges of the tzitzit, the fringe of a garment. It's written on the straps of the tefillin, and the Lord God made for Adam and for his wife garments of skins and clothed them. However, regarding the tzitzit, it was said, and they sewed fig leaves. It is so, because two kinds of covers were mentioned for covering their nakedness, which came to them through the tree of knowledge. One, the covers that they made by themselves, the fig leaves, and two, the covers that the Creator made for them, the garments of skin. Therefore, when the writings talk about Israel after the breaking of the tablets, the Zohar says that the cover of the fig leaves implies the covering of the edges of the tzitzit, which are the instruments of mitzvah, thrown away after the doing of the mitzvah, because there is no kedusha in them at all. But the covering of garments of skin implies the straps of the tefillin, which are instruments of Kedusha that are concealed, and there is Kedusha in them even after their doing of the mitzvah, and made for themselves girdles. It's written, gird your sword on the thigh, O Mighty One. And this is the reading of the Shema, since the Shema reading is as a sword toward the outer ones, as it is girded at the thigh. It's said about the Shema reading, the high praises of God in their mouth, and a double-edged sword in their hand. The Shema reading, which is called by the mouth, is like a sword. This is why it says about that, and they made themselves girdles.
Okay.
Who do I need to ask for deficiency for? Do I need to ask for deficiency for myself or for the friends?
Not for you nor for the friends. You need to ask a deficiency for the 10 as a representative of the public. As the representative of the 10. And that's how each and every one should be. And then all those deficiencies that you raise, each for the 10, will connect to 1 10. That's how we multiply it, times 10, times 100, and so on. Enough. Okay? More? Okay, let's continue.
Headline under the heading of Bad Mixtures. Item 290. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden. This indicates Israel when they came near for the reception of the Torah on Mount Sinai, as it is written, "Has any people heard the voice of God speaking from the midst of the fire, as you have heard it and survived?" But the mixed multitude could not hear the voice of God and died. Those of the mixed multitude who remained, who did not die, later said to Moses, "And let not God speak with us, lest we die." They caused forgetfulness of the Torah by making Israel sin with the calf. Those mixed multitude are the nations of the earth, of whom it is written, "Cursed is he who lies with any beast," since they are on the part of the serpent, of whom it is said, "Cursed are you more than all beast." 291. But there are several bad mixtures in Israel called beasts and animals. But there is a mixture on the part of the serpent, and there is a mixture on the part of the idol-worshipping nations of the world, who are like animals and beasts of the field. And there is also mixed multitude on the part of the wicked, who are the souls of the wicked, because the souls of the wicked are really the villains of the world. And there's also a mixed multitude of demons and spirits and Lilith. They are all mingled with Israel. Yet there is none so cursed among them as Amalek, who is the evil serpent and another god. He is the one who discloses all the incest in the world, meaning he is the root of the klipa that yields incest in the world. He is a murderer from whom murdering extends to the world. His mate is the potion of death of idol worship. Thus, the three grave transgressions, incest, bloodshed, and idol worship, extend from the klipa of Amalek, who is the serpent and who is another god. And they are all considered some. But there are many kinds of some, and they are not all the same. But this some, on the part of the serpent, is the most cursed. 292. And the Lord God called to the man, and he said, "Where are you?" In the verse, "And said to him, where are you?" The Creator talks about Adam Rishon, that the temple was destined to be ruined and it would be mourned. How, as it is written, "How lonely sits," Echa means both how and where are you. It is so because Echa has the letters Aleph Yud Chaf Hei, where Chaf Hei is the name of the Shekhinah who was at the temple, and Aleph Yud means where. As it is written, "Where is your brother Abel?" Hence, after the ruin, it is said about the Shekhinah, Echa, Aleph Hei, Aleph Yud, Chaf Hei, where is the Shekhinah now, who is called Ko, Chaf Hei. In the future, the Creator will obliterate every kind of evil from the world. As it is written, "He shall swallow up death forever." Death is the root of all evil. When death is canceled, all evil will be canceled, and everything will return to its places prior to the sin of the tree of knowledge, from which came death and every kind of evil, as it is written, "In that day the Lord will be one, and his name one."
So we're continuing to read, and everyone tries through this general group to turn to the Creator with our common desire. Yes? For Him to make a correction in us. Our correction is called 613.18 advices for Him to connect us, and 613 Pekudin commands for Him to be revealed in all of us, in all of us, in the connection between us. Let's ask.
Under the heading, "The Correction of the Lower World from the Upper World." 293. Every Shlomo, Solomon, that is said in the Song of Songs means a king, that Shalom, peace is in his Zerampin. And if we say only king and not King Solomon, it means Nukva de Zerampin Malchut. The lower king is included in the upper king, and the thing is that the lower one inherits the upper one, and both became as one. What separates the king, that peace is his from the Nukva, just the king, is that the lower king, Nukva, exists only when she rises to the upper king, Binah, since the Nukva cannot receive Mochin by herself, rather through the Nukva's ascent to Binah. The lower one, Nukva, inherits the upper one, Binah, since the mother lends her clothes to her daughter and adorns her with her decorations. Therefore, Binah, as well as Zerampin, who extends from Binah, are called by the name, the king that peace is his. Thus, all the peace of the Nukva, her kelim and mochin, extend from Binah and Zerampin, because through Nukva's ascent to Binah, Binah and Nukva became as one, and Nukva can receive the same Mochin as Binah. And then Nukva is called house, since by inheriting the Mochin of illumination of Chokhmah from Binah, she is called a house. As it is written, in wisdom, in Chokhmah shall a house be built. This hints at the Nukva not being called a house unless she has Chokhmah. It's written, King Solomon made for himself a palanquin. A palanquin is the correction of the lower world, the Nukva from the upper world, Binah. That is, when matters relate to the Nukva in her correction through Binah, she is called a palanquin.
294.
Until the Creator created the world, his name was hidden in it, and he and his name that is hidden in it were one. His name is Malchut, who, prior to creation, was included and hidden in Ein Sof, without any disclosure or recognition. At that time, he and his name that is hidden in it were one. Nothing was revealed until he wished to create the world. He was inscribing and building worlds, but they were unsustainable and became ruined. That is, the worlds that came out of Malchut at the time of Tzimtzum Aleph, called the worlds of Tohu, in whom there was the breaking of the vessels, which is the ruin of these worlds. We learned about them that in the beginning, the world was created in Midat Adin. Malchut Tzimtzum Aleph, who is called Midat Adin, he saw that the world did not exist, that they were ruined. He associated it with Midat Arachamim. That is, the Creator, Binah, was enveloped in an envelope of light and created the world, meaning elevated the Malchut to her. Because of that, her light diminished into Vak, called enveloped light. For then Midat Adin, Malchut, was associated with Midat Arachamim, Binah, by which the world existed.
295. Out of that enveloped light, he brought forth great and high cedars out of that upper brightness. Afterwards, he returned and extended Gal to the above-mentioned enveloped light and placed his Merkava over 22 inscribed letters, which are Zon. Since the letters Ele of Binah, which descend during Kutnut from her to Zon, and which Binah returns to her during Gadlut, are considered a Merkava that travels here and there. He placed his Merkava over 22 letters, over Zon in Katnut, and later in Gadlut, Zon were engraved in 10 utterances, meaning Mochin Degal. At that time they were reconciled and achieved their desirable correction. It is written, King Solomon made himself a palanquin from the cedars of Lebanon. It is also written, the cedars that he had planted. Chokhmah is called white, and Binah is called Lebanon. The palanquin that Solomon made, the Nukva, he made for himself, from the Kelim of Binah, Lebanon, and her Sfirot are also the cedars of Lebanon. The Nukva was built out of these cedars. 296. King Solomon made himself. The word himself is redundant. The Zohar interprets himself as for himself. That King Solomon, Zeranpin in Mochin of Binah, made the palanquin for himself, for his own correction. That he first corrected himself with the palanquin, for himself, to show his high glory, to give his Mochin from the high glory, Binah, to the palanquin, Malchut. For himself, to announce he is one and his name one. To bring on the end of correction, as it is written, in that day the Lord will be one and his name one. It is written about that time, and they will know that it is you alone whose name is the Lord. 297. The palaces, Mochin, are obtained upon the arrival of the Zivug of Hakaah in Malchut de Binah. Dripping to that side of above is dripping to the right. Leaning to the left means descending. When he extends the Mochin from above, from below upward, it is right, Netzach. When he leans to the left, Hod, the illumination of Mochin descends from above downward. However, their illumination does not extend downward from Netzach. He also extends the Mochin to the four angles, which are 12, since each angle consists of three Pchinot. Malchut of Binah expands upward and downward and into four angles to be one high river. That is, Malchut of Binah gives all those Mochin that came out in Binah to Zeranpin. Through them, Zeranpin becomes one high river. As it is written, and a river, Zeranpin, came out of Eden, Binah. These Mochin are 24 Pchinot, since 12 Pchinot are included in four angles, Chubtum, from Netzach, meaning 12 Pchinot from below upward. There are also Chubtum from Hod, meaning 12 Pchinot from above downward, making 24 Pchinot. All of them become one high river, Mochin of Zeranpin, which is, and a river came out of Eden. 298. Zeranpin is the upper river. It descends and gives Mochin below to Malchut, making her the great sea, as it is written, all the rivers go to the sea. Since Malchut collects everything and sucks them within her, it is so because those Mochin, which are 24 Pchinot, come out inside the Binah, who is called river, as it's written, he will drink from the brook on the way, Zeranpin. Therefore he will lift up the head, Gar, which are called Rosh. This is why the 24 Pchinot of Mochin are called rivers, and Zeranpin drinks those rivers and gives them to Malchut. As it is written, all the rivers go to the sea. Since through the rivers that she receives from Zeranpin, Malchut becomes the great sea. It is written, I am a sand lily of the Sharon. Only the place near the great sea which sucks in all the waters of the world is called the Sharon. That is, Sharon comes from the word he will see over men, meaning seeing, Mochin of Chochmah. For this reason, when Malchut has Mochin de Chochmah, she is called the sand lily of the Sharon. Malchut is called Sharon only when she is near the great sea. When she has the rivers of Binah, the Mochin de Chochmah, That for then she sucks into her all the waters of Bina, who is called world, which are all 24 rivers that he brings forth and sucks into him, and they illuminate in one another in certain ways. The elicitation of the mochin is in 3 points: cholam, shuruk, chirik. He brings forth the point of cholam. At that time, arichanpin brings bina out of the rosh, and zeranpin brings malchut out of atzilut, and she becomes vak without a rosh, the right line. Sucks within him is the point of Shuruk. When Bina returns to Rosh Arichanpin and Malchut returns to Atzilut, receiving the Mochin of Chochmah, the left line, as the reception of these Mochin is called sucking. They illuminate in one another in certain ways means that it is the point of Chirik, the elicitation of the level of chasadim that clothes the two lines, right and left, in one another. This is the meaning of the middle line, when they illuminate in one another. The right line that extends from the cholam receives the gar from the left line, which extends from shuruk. Also, the left line receives the chasadim from the right line, and there is chokhmah and chasadim in the right line, and Chochmah and Chasadim in the left line, by which the Mochin are completed. Then it is written about them, in wisdom shall a house be built, to which the Bet of Bereshit implies. Since once the Chochmah clothed in Chasadim, Bina is called a house. Malchut too is called a house, to which the Bet of Bereshit implies, since Bet is called Bait, house. The upper temple, the upper house, Bina, was built with Chochmah, and the lower house, Malchut, was also built with Chochmah. However, the great and high temple, Bina, is the settling of the world, for the Mochin are not for herself, but for the settling of Zon, which is called world, and the lower temple is plainly a king, Malchut.
Okay. Questions?
Could you repeat the intention that you gave us at the beginning of the last reading about Eitin and Pkudin?
Eitin and Pkudin, they'll take care of themselves. Don't worry about it, it's the Creator taking care of us according to His own order. But each of us needs to try to raise the deficiency of everyone, that in this deficiency, the Creator will be able to perform the corrections of Eitin and Pkudin. Eitin is to connect us properly, and Pkudin is to fulfill us. So each one in the society must ask, must request, that each of us want to integrate the whole society into one desire to bring the Creator contentment by wanting Him to be revealed. So we raise this man. So allow each one to raise this man. We don't need anything. Just during that, the reading of the Zohar, it's useful, it's efficient, it's effective to raise it and receive an answer.
299. And the king, Malchut, shall rejoice in the upper God, Bina, to grip him under his head and bring him near his joy with joy, so the two of them are as one. As it is written, his left is under my head and his right shall embrace me. It is said about the Mochin of Bina, received by Malchut through Zeranpin. This clarifies the words, and the king shall rejoice in God, Malchut will rejoice in Bina, in upper Elohim, as she is gripped to her under her head, giving her mochin that become rosh for malchut, and giving her chasadim to bring her closer, to unite into one with her. Since then, malchut rises and clothes binah, and the two of them become one. And the king shall rejoice in God, the joy in the light that he emitted. It explains the words by order of the elicitation of the mochin in 3 points, cholam, shuruk, chirik. And the joy is the joy of the light that he elicited at the point of cholam. And although through this elicitation she becomes only vak without a rosh, through that elicitation of the binah, malchut becomes fit to receive all the mochin of binah. Were it not for this elicitation, malchut would not be fit to receive mochin. This is why the text says about this elicitation, and the king shall rejoice in God. The joy is because one hidden and concealed trail came out, inserting two trails within it, two that are one. Because once malchut included and mitigated in binah, she was established in 2 points, called manula and miftacha, lock and key. In her own point, and in the point of Bina. However, her own Prina, Manula, which has no Zivug, was concealed in her and is not at all apparent in her, rather only the point of Bina. Miftacha, on which all the Mochin were elicited, is revealed in her, which is why she is fit for Mochin. This is the meaning of the elicitation of one trail in Miftacha. He inserted two trails in her, a trail of Miftacha and a trail of Manula, but they were established in two that are one, meaning that only one is apparent, the Miftacha. This is why the world Malchut was established in complete Mochin, since later all the Mochin de Gadlut later come out on the Miftacha, extended from Bina. If the other trail had been apparent in her, the Manula, she would not be able to receive any Mochin. This is why it was said about that exit through the trail of Miftacha and the king shall rejoice in God. 300. And the king shall rejoice in God, the lower world will rejoice in the upper, hidden world. That world, which gives life to all, is called the life of the king. When Bina returns to Rosh Verichanpin, she is regarded as the point of Shiruk. At that time, she becomes Chochma in him, and then she is called Elokim, deep and hidden in name, and the light of Chochma is called the light of Chaya, as it is written, and wisdom, Chochma, shall sustain its owner. It is written, and the king shall rejoice in God, meaning that the lower world will rejoice in the upper, hidden world, when Bina is called a deep and hidden world. During her ascent to Rosh Verichanpin, she becomes Chochmah at the point of Shuruk, and then Bina sends life, Mochin of Chochmah, to all the degrees. The Mochin are called the life of the king. That does not mean that now she gives life to all, for now she is devoid of chasadim, and the lower ones cannot receive anything from her without the clothing of chasadim. For this is why she is now called the hidden world. Rather, it means that afterwards she clothes that light of chokhmah in light of chasadim, at the point of chirik. And from there, she gives the chokhmah called life to all degrees. The mochin of the point of Shuruk are the core of the house. Since Malchut is not called the house, except after mochin de chokhmah, as it is written, in wisdom chokhmah shall a house be built. Hence the mochin de Shuruk chokhmah are the core of the house. But the mochin are still hidden due to the lack of chasadim. For this reason, it is considered that the house is still not inhabited. Also, she is the core of the house because afterwards illumination of Chochmah which is the core of the house, will be drawn from here. That house builds the house of the world, Zon, and builds the worlds, which are Zon. The point of Chirik is the point of Chasadim, in which the Chochmah clothes so they can clothe in the lower ones, Zon, called world. That house, the core of the house of the point of Shuruk, builds the house of the world, dresses in Chasadim, and is regarded as building a settled house for the world, Zon. For whenever building is mentioned, it means in light of Chasadim extending from Gar Debina, which are, as it is written, for he desires mercy, Chesed. That is, the core of the house, Chochmah, dresses in Chasadim of point of Chirik, by which he builds a house for Zon for settling, clothing Chochmah in Chasadim. Afterwards, she gives them to Zon when they are clothed in one another, and then Zon, called world, are built in order to inhabit the house, and the Mochin are sufficiently complemented. It is as it is written, in the beginning God created where in the beginning has the letters of Bait, Reshit. Reshit is Chochmah, when Malchut collects all the Mochin into her and becomes the great sea, drawing all the Mochin at the point of Shuruk, then Malchut is called Reshit. When Reshit, Chochmah, dresses in Chasadim, she is called Bait Reshit. For now, she is a house for settling. This is in the beginning God created. 301. The waters of the congealed sea, Malchut, suck all the waters of the world and gather them into it. The waters walk and roam, and it is here and there and are sucked into it. It comes out and is done in Malchut from the upper one, from Bina, as it is written, out of whose abdomen came forth the ice. From Bina, who is called Mi, the ice, Malchut, came forth and became the congealed sea. Its waters congeal in it, so it may suck other waters, for it is the nature of congealed water that many hollowed vents are made in them. Hence, if you pour water over them, the ice swallows and receives them. Thus, by congealing, the waters become a receptacle to receive other waters. The Zohar explains the necessity of clothing of Chochmah in Chasadim. It says, the waters of the congealed sea, Malchut, suck all the waters of the world and gather them into it. The waters walk and roam in it here and there and are sucked into it. It is so because when Malchut receives the Chochmah at the point of Shuruk, and she is called sea, she becomes the congealed sea. The light congeal and become hidden within them and are not imparted from her outwards. A correction is made on that as long as Chochmah is without Chasadim, for she harms the lower ones. Hence the lights are congealed within her and are not imparted to the lower ones. Malchut is the congealed sea, while her lights draw all the lights of the upper world, Bina, and collect them into her. When Bina returns to Rosh De'ar Chanpin and becomes Chochmah, the waters walk and roam in it here and there and are sucked into it. Since they are not imparted from her outwards, the waters walk and roam in it here and there, and by that they are sucked in her. He says below that through the southern wind, which is Chasadim, extended through the point of Chirik, the ice in her melts, and she returns to being liquid and gives to the lower ones. At that time, once she is under the domination of the southern wind, Malchut can no longer receive Chochmah, except for that light of Chochmah she had received before when she was frozen. Now addresses in the light of Chasadim that she receives from the south. This is why it is considered that the light of Chochmah goes here and there. That is, first it goes and comes to Malchut, and then through the southern wind it exits her once more and comes to its root. But in the meantime, Malchut sucks the light of Chochmah that passes within her. The waters of Chochmah go and roam here and there because first they come and freeze within her, and then come out of her again by the southern wind. In the meantime, they are sucked in her, because the light of Chochmah is sucked in her. She absorbs it within her, and it remains in her always since the time when she was frozen with it. He says it comes out of and is done in Malchut from the upper one. The matter of congealing and the ice extends to Malchut from the upper one, from Binah, as it is written, out of whose Binah, called Mi, abdomen, came forth the ice. 302. The waters of that ice of the Holy Sea will not leak unless when the force of the south, the right, comes out and takes it with it. Then the waters that were congealed from the north, the left, melt and are drawn by the south, imparting to the lower ones the force of the south, means the point of Chirik, the level of Chasadim that emerges on Masach Tebchina Aleph, since he subdues the Chasadim of the right line, south, and empowers it over the north, the left. It is regarded as the force of the south. At that time, the force of the south reaches the ice that extends from the north, the left line, and takes it with it, including it within it. And since the left line is included in the right, the ice promptly melts and lights extend to the lower ones. It is because the waters congeal from the north, the left line, from the south, the right line, the waters melt and pour down to the lower ones to water all the animals of the field, the degrees outside of Atzilut, in Bia. Those in Bia are called mounts of batter, of separation. Mountains of separation, since it is written about Bia, and from there it parted. They will all be watered when the south begins to bond with it. At that time, the waters extend by that upper force that extends from the south. They will all be in glory and joy. 303. When the thought comes up and arrived in a desire from the most hidden of all that is hidden, Arichanpin, a river extends from the thought. Bina is called a thought. Malchut is called desire. The river that stretches out of the thought are the three letters Ele, that came out of the thought that is called Elohim. When Bina der Arichanpin, the thought, receives Malchut der Arichanpin within her, meaning the desire, and was included in her, a river extended and parted from Bina, meaning the three letters Ele of Elohim, parted from Bina and extended down to Zon. Only the two letters Mi of the name Elohim remained in Bina. When they approach each other, when the river Ele approaches the letters Mi in the thought once again, he is complimented once again in the name Elohim through a single trail that is not known above or below. Here is where the beginning of everything is made. During Gadlut, when the illumination of Ab Sag De'ak lowers the Malchut from the thought to her place once again, the letters Ele return to the thought, and the name Elohim is completed in her as before. In Bereshit, there are the letters Bet Reshit. Bet implies merely a king, Malchut, established and completed from Reshit, Bina, the thought. And Malchut and Bina are similar to one another. This is why they come together in the word Bereshit, where Bet is Malchut and Reshit is Bina. There are two questions here. Igor Marchuk from Kiev asks, I am watching the lesson from work, and it's much easier to ask for the friends that I see on the screen than for my 10. How should I direct my prayer for my 10?
What does it matter? Even now I see them on the screens. You. What's the difference? An electronic screen or... These are parts of my soul that I must unite. I can only unify them through the upper light because these pieces were separated by the ego that came in between them. So the light will connect them specifically with the ego, with a positive intensity. And by that, we'll be able to reveal the Creator. That's how I address. That's it. So think about it more and more. Don't fear to make a mistake or being confused, and each one will begin to feel in this some sensation, some pertinence. This is our spiritual life.
A student from Nahariya is asking, what is the special of the reading of Zohar at the end, the summary of the week versus the beginning of the week, and if so, in what way can we make it more efficient and use it in that way?
No, for now, I don't see any change. Beginning of the week, the middle of the week, the end, day, night. This depends on a person's individual state. We can't tie ourselves to times based on spirituality, of states and conditions, environmental situations. This is far, far ahead of us. But then we'll have to take that into account, how we divide ourselves into the dawn and the evening, and each and every day, and each week, not our week, but spiritual states. We still have time.
304. God created the heaven. It means that He emitted a sound out of Him. Elohim, Bina, emanated and elicited the heaven, Zeranpin, a voice. He is called the voice of the shofar. The heaven, Zeranpin, governs the earth by the mochin, called life of the upper king. The light of Chochmah is called life, the upper king, Bina, who emanated the heaven. This is why these mochin are called the life of the upper king. As it is written, the son of Yishai lives on the earth. Since the illumination of Chochmah, called life, depends on the son of Yishai, the kingship of David, and through them he governed everything. Also the earth, Malchut, receives from the heaven, as it is written, God created the heaven and the earth. Because there are two Pchinot of Malchut to Zeranpin. First, Malchut from Chazed de Zeranpin and above, the kingship of David. And two, Malchut from Chazed and below, Rachel, earth. Zeranpin, which is called heaven, gives those Mochin of Chochmah, called life of the upper king, to the earth. The Nukva from Chazeh and below. However, they depend on the kingship of David, on Malchut from Chazeh and above. Since the Zivug de Zeranpin to receive the Mochin with the kingship of David, once they have been received in the kingship of David, gives them to the earth the lower Nukva. Life depends on the son of Yishai, on David's kingship, since the zivug to receive these mochin from Bina is made in it. Afterwards, it gives them to the earth. This is why the text says, the son of Yishai lives on the earth, to indicate that the life received by the earth, the lower Nukva de Zeranpin, comes from the son of Yishai, the Nukva from Chazé and above. The Vav that is added to the word the is as it is written, and the earth is to empower and impart nourishment in the earth to the lower Nukva, since the Vav of Veha'aretz is the male in the Nukva, and she receives the imparting of nourishment from that male. 305. It is written, the heaven. She is the force of the whole of the 22 letters implied in it. Or Aleph Taf, from Aleph to Taf, which Elohim Bina elicited and gave to the heaven. Et implies Nukva, which implies Aleph Tav is the whole of the 22 letters from Aleph to Tav, and the letters are Kelim and depend only on the Nukva, since the male is the light and the Nukva is the Kelim. The heaven is the Nukva from Chazeh and above in the Guf of Zeranpin, which Bina emanated along with Zeranpin, as it is written in the crown with which his mother has crowned him. Nukva is a crown with which his mother, Bina, has crowned him. And the heaven is male and female, including them in one another, and connecting them in one another, so they exist together in those mohin, called the life of the king. Merely the king, which is Nukva, will be nourished by Zeranpin, who is called heaven. And the earth indicates bonding of male and female who were engraved in inscribed letters. Since the Nukva from Chazen above implied in the words, the heaven, is only the force of the 22 letters, which are not yet actual letters as they are from above the Chazen. But the Nukva implied in the words, and the earth, is actual 22 inscribed letters as they are from Chazen and below. This is why it was said that they were engraved in inscribed letters in actual fact. The life of the king are the mochin of illumination of Chochmah, extending from the heaven, Zeranpin. The heaven extended them only to sustain the earth and all her multitudes. That is, Zeranpin does not extend these mochin for himself, as he is corrected in Mochin de Chasadim from the pure air of Upper Abba Ve'ima. However, he extends them only for the Nukva from Chazeh and below, and for all the souls extending from her. 306. The Upper Elohim, Bina, made heaven and earth in Mochin of existence, the life of the king, and elicited them as one by the force of above, Gar de Bina, who are upper Abba Ve'ima, called the beginning of everything. That is, Gar de Bina, upper Abba Ve'ima, emanated the upper heaven and earth, the great Zon, from Chazeh de Zon and above. Likewise, the upper secret Bina descended to her Zat, called Yeshut, who made the lower heaven and earth, this small zone, from Chazeh de Zon and below. 307. This whole matter is the Bet of Bereshit, which implies Bina. She is called Bet because there are two Bets in the world in Bina. Upper Abba Ve'ima, called the upper world, and Yesut, called the lower world. They created worlds. The upper world of Bina created the upper world of Zon, and the lower world of Bina created the lower world. One such as the other. Abba Ve'ima such as Yeshut. Abba Ve'ima created heaven and earth, the great Zon, and Yeshut created heaven and earth, the small Zon. Therefore, Bet implies that there are two worlds in Bina, Abba Ve'ima and Yeshut. One elicited two worlds, the great Zon, and the other elicited two worlds, the small Zon. All of them came forth by the upper Reshit Bina, who returned to Rosh Vechanpin, called the Upper Rishit.
Questions. Everyone is praying. All right. We have a little more time.
Rav, today many friends are meeting. Do you have some kind of recommendation to give us, to direct us?
What is the topic of the meeting?
We're meeting with our tens.
Each one for the purpose of unity in the ten.
Yes.
So looks like it sounds like you have a topic. What's the question?
No, because we're in a very special period of time. Maybe we can take out of it something more with your recommendation.
But all the suggestions are the same. There's no more than that. The increasing unity toward the Congress, and on the way, when we enter more study about the perception of reality, or in other words, the revelation of the Creator. And that's it. What does success depend on? In the intensity of the unity between us above all disturbances coming to turn us to unity.
Thank you very much, Rav.
This is how we must always direct ourselves and to think. All right.
How are our requests?
Are we on 306 or 308? 308.
How do our requests change the perception of reality?
Perception of reality is established through the influence of the upper light, the Creator. His influence is according to how much we raise a deficiency. Without a deficiency, there's nothing. First, we must discover a deficiency, a chisaron, from us, from below, and upon that, in response, the influence will come from above. That's it. So who determines this? The lower. After the upper influences and bestows to him. Still, the result depends on the lower. If not, then from the Creator you have an increase of light every time. More and more and more, the light comes closer and closer to us, and then we feel darkness. More and more and more darkness if we don't adapt ourselves to the light. That's how it is. Look what's happening in America right now. They're not fit for their own advancement, so all sorts of processes begin to be revealed according to nature. Forces against. And that's it. Accordingly, we'll see more developments until they will truly want to get the right discernments in themselves to raise man, not now, but maybe in 50 or 100 years. Another Hitler may rise, and not just one, and not just there. Everything is open. You think that we're dealing with some kind of somebody merciful and so on. So where are all the problems from? That we, according to, against this all merciful and so on and so forth, we're opposite. And we see this, how merciful he is, we see all this mercy in opposite. And that's it. So we, all in all, just invert it. And that's what happens. Therefore, in order not to come to these things, not to get these things all over the world, and to see the Creator in front of us as the goal and not that we'll feel good and run from suffering corporeally. We still need to think about how to come to bestowing contentment upon him. Terence, listen, man, we want to eat.
Rav, what is the miftacha in Kabbalah?
Miftacha in mandala, miftacha is a lock. This is midat adin that closes it. Miftacha is chasadim, mandala locks it. Miftacha, the key, opens it. Chasadim, it opens it. Listen, let's go downstairs. It'll be better. Everything will be more clear.
Shabbat Shalom.